This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here at 97.9 FM, WGBW 98.3 FM, WISS, and of course worldwide with the Civic Media app, 25 in Green Bay, 23 in Appleton, 22 in Oshkosh, but a 16-mile-an-hour wind coming from the northwest, which makes it a little nippy out there. We're joined by Chris Leonard, author and senior editor of the Press Times, which is a very, very favorable paper of ours. We really enjoy it with all the way you cover all the local things happening within, I don't know, however many miles from right where we're sitting right now. Welcome.
Good morning. Yeah, that's our stance. We're very hyper-local.
Yep.
Multimedia channels, our publishing company, really strives to.
And what is your footprint with the Press Times? I love your paper. I want to start by saying that. And this show, Civic Media, Sage, who owns the company, wanted a radio show that was a little bit more local focused, you know, because there's so much news on the state and there's an unbelievable news on the federal government and world news. You can't miss that. But what you've done in just this paper, Johnny and I were reading this morning, it's just we're grateful for that. So how far do you go?
So it's Ashwaubenon, Howard, Suamico.
So it's greater Green Bay.
Yeah. Yeah, we stay focused on that area. We do have a publication like Kewaunee County. So Denmark and farther north all the way up to Door County would be in our Kewaunee County footprint.
It's almost a little bit, and I mean this in a complimentary way, it's almost like an old school newspaper mm-hmm. with the way you cover local events.
Thanks. Yeah, we don't have a social scene, though. You know, we don't have the little...
Yeah, which is fine. which is great. But it's just so funny here. All morning we talked about the CPAC things, and here in your paper is a huge article on those. I mean, we're just reading the article out loud here during the break.
Right, and we were talking about my neighbor who plays for Notre Dame. And you did a great job covering the sports. And I think the Press Gazette, yeah, we like Scott Vinci. He's a great guy. He's been on here a couple of times. But
Ariel?
Yes. But I'm talking about the sports side, though. But it's just not what it used to be. And I think you guys just, it's two pages instead of a paragraph.
Yeah, we have a small staff, but we have a really dedicated staff. And Tori Wittenbrock, our sports editor, she gives it her all.
Great. Yeah. Excellent. So tell me, give your background a little bit. Because when I was in college, my dream was to be a sports writer, not a sports BSer, so to speak. And I mean, I wanted to work for Sports Illustrated or something like that, write feature stories and those kind of things. Give us a little bit of background, because somewhere along the lines, there was that spark, I want to be a part of journalism.
Yeah, that started in high school, but I had an advisor that her and I didn't really mesh very well, so I kind of went a different direction. I went into communications and... met my ex-husband and went into business with him for about 15 years. And on the side, I started writing.
Where'd you go to high school?
Colby High School in the center of the state.
Yeah. Cheesemakers.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you bet. Love my cheese.
They had a great quarterback, Kurt Baumgartner, that came from there.
We graduated together, good friend.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are the odds of that?
I think he's living in Medford now.
All right. But he played at Stevens Point, was phenomenal, and then drafted by the Packers.
Wow.
Played for the Packers during the preseason.
And I don't know what, there's a National Museum for College football in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's in there.
He no made kidding. That. Yeah. Wow. And you graduated with him.
Yeah.
At a class of how many?
Good guy. Oh, well, then we probably, well, it's small compared to like Green Bay, probably 100.
Oh, okay.
Now they're way smaller because now that's turned into Amish and Mennonite country. Right. So they've like taken lockers out of the hallways, you know. They've really reduced in numbers.
Oh, wow.
And,
okay.
And the Amish and Mennonite schools are all popping up all over.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I've got a theory on that, but we'll talk about that at break.
I
really
he has
do.
A
and
theory
I think,
on everything.
I do.
I got a theory on that. How much time do you got, Chris?
How are you doing recruiting writers, talent? Because it's a kind of little bit of a, I just want to say that one could perceive that as, don't get into that, it's a dying industry, yet you kind of are the Phoenix.
Yep, we're the Phoenix Rising for sure. So we have this great internship program, of which John Kramer, who was a good friend of yours, is part of. It's backed by the Packers Give Back and Nicolet National Bank. And this is where we're really seeing our new writers coming in. And we're teaching them and they're teaching us. We're learning new ways. We're coming truly multimedia now with the help of them. You know, they can guide us and we can guide them. So we have 9 interns each semester that we work with. And some of them stick. Some of them decide they don't want to do that because it's really a 24/7 job and you really are on deadline. And it's tough. It's a tough industry. And this is a good way for them to see if that's the direction they want to go. But we're finding that's where our new writers are coming from. We've seen them go on in our own company, places like Channel 2. We have Shane Fitzsimmons that went there. So that's where we're seeing our new talent come in because, you know, I don't want to say I'm old, but for a while there...
Hey, you're talking to guys. We're talking about who was the hottest of the Golden Girls.
That's right.
Okay?
And we,
so you do not have to worry about me. Todd?
That is
Todd,
true.
Help her out here.
That is true. So, all right, what were you getting at? That you're not...
So, you know, our we have an aging demographic in our company as far as editors go. So now we're starting to build the younger people are coming. Okay,
don't feel alone at all because everybody does. I mean, yeah. look at City Hall. I mean, again, 300 people are going to be retiring out of the city in the next couple of years. And you got to get younger people in, not someone who's 5 years younger because then you're going to go through the whole thing again. You got to get somebody who's 20, 25 years younger that wants. And the only way they're really going to learn is through an internship. I mean, they'll learn in college in theory.
It's the best thing there is.
But internships are awesome because you can say, you know what?
You're in the real world.
Especially if you're going in deep, like to medicine. I think an internship is good.
Yeah, and you know, like as far as journalism, a lot of the colleges have done away with the journalism program.
A lot of big, like prestigious ones, have dropped journalism.
Really?
Yes.
It's not a focus.
Yes, and when I was in school in the late 70s, early 80s, that was right after All the President's Men and everything, and investigative journalism. So that was like the cool.
That's what I'm saying.
Thing to go into.
The media made it really, really a cool industry. I told them about the pencil in the air. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they dug pretty deep. But, you know.
What? Pencil in the air? What?
I think that's those old reporters always had a pencil.
In the ear. I thought you said in the air.
Okay. Oh, no. Well, John, that's. Yeah.
Yeah, got it.
So, Mr. Mayor.
Right, Mr. Mayor, cigarette.
Let me ask you. And that is not far from the truth.
Right. Coffee and cigarette.
Coffee, cigarette, pencil behind the air, and they're smoking while they do the interview.
And then breaking a story. You know, that was in the old days, that was really breaking a story. And we all know stories that were broken by the press. Even just lately, well, not that lately, but City of Industry out in California, those guys were scamming their taxpayers, and they were having these meetings. They weren't really illegal. They would notice them, but nobody would come. And I think the mayor was making like 500 grand, and it was just crazy what they were doing. And a reporter, a young reporter, like, I don't know if it was an intern or not, with the LA Times, is like, something doesn't seem right over there. Those guys are all in jail now because of the because of the print reporter. Isn't that? I think that's a great
that's
story.
Nice story.
It is. And I think that can. I think there's a lot more.
There's
that
still a place for that. There's no question. Chris, let me ask you a little bit about your being an author.
So, yeah, I'm going to be releasing my third book about Curly Lambeau. And what started it was...
Can I tell you something real quick? I don't mean to interrupt.
Nope.
So I was back home.
John went to school with you.
No, but I found a very nice handwritten card from Marguerite Lambeau to me.
Really?
From 1989, I think it was. I was doing the Lindy Infante show, who's the Packers head coach at the time. And she was a big fan of the show. And she said, you know who I would love to meet, if it's possible? The coach's wife, Stephanie Infante. And Stephanie was like, oh my gosh, I could meet the Marguerite Curly Lambeau's wife. And it was so cute because we had it set up for the Union Hotel. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie goes, okay, Marguerite, I will pick you up at 11:30. She goes, why is that? And we're thinking, oh, well, for lunch. Well, I know that, dear, but why are you picking me up? Well, to bring you there. You think I can't drive? Been driving since 1929. All of a sudden, it's like, okay. But it's just neat, even on the little sticker return address, Marguerite Lambeau, so-and-so.
Oh, I would love to see that.
Oh, I'll be more than happy to drop it off.
After all the research, I'm really invested in.
Oh, cool. Yeah, absolutely.
You picked Curly because it's Curly Lambeau, or was there something more than that?
No. So early on, I came to Green Bay two and a half years ago. I came to help and ended up staying. You know, this community is something else. It's a small town feel in a big city. And you don't get that just anywhere. I went to college in Milwaukee. That's definitely not the place. But so when I came, I talked to Dr. Don Sipes early on. He's the president of the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame, Inc. And we were talking about, you know, educating on what the archives have and about Packers history and how we can do it. We were collaborating. And not long after that, they found these busts. These sculptures of some of the major players in the Packers in the archives, and they were all busted up. And they found an artist to repair, or a sculptor to repair them, and then they were donating them different places. The first one to be donated was at East High School, where donated Curly Lambeau.
Right.
And we were surprised at the younger kids, how they didn't know Curly Lambeau, they didn't know the history. So that got me down a rabbit hole of doing research. And I got really invested in his story, trying to understand the guy, because my grandparents had always told me, there's always a reason why people are the way they are. You should really get to know them before you make judgment. So getting into that research, it just took me down a rabbit hole. And the book is a result of that.
Did they ever 100% identify like the house he grew up in?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because there was a big controversy about that for a long time, right?
Yeah, they're pretty sure. Well, they moved around. They were really transient, so they had several, but yeah, one of them was identified.
Okay.
For sure.
Wasn't that, didn't the attorney buy it and he has a lot of tailgate parties there?
Yep. Yeah.
That's really?
They rented
out
a good house.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It is really nice.
What street is it on?
Irving.
Was it?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Irving. Or, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't be able to tell you where it is. I mean, I know Irving, but I mean,
I'll get you invited to a party.
Okay.
It's a brick house. It's very nice.
Pick up my book.
Yeah, absolutely.
We do that too. We should do that.
Absolutely. Actually, you guys reviewed my last book, 50 Strong, on local veterans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Very nice.
When we come back, we're going to do a very quick break here, and I got to feed the meter. When we come back, any surprises in your research?
Yes.
Okay. Stay with us.
He was an interesting character.
Author, senior editor of Press Times, back right after this.
Well, now you may find a hole in for the foolish things I do.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, welcome back. My name is the mayor here, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS. And, of course, the Civic Media app on a chilly morning out there. Bundle up the kids. If they're going to the bus stop, of course, I would imagine they're already be there right now. Right? Time for school to start.
Should be.
Yeah. Chris Leonard, author and senior editor of the Press Times, a paper we really, really enjoy around here. But I'm just fascinated on your love of history and the Curly Lambeau story. I mean, there's so many. You know who would have been a great person to talk to back in the day? Lee Remmel. The old sports writer and public relations director, because he'd tell his stories once in a while about going on those trips to California and on the trains, and just seemed like a romantic way of being involved in sports in those days, getting on the train and going to New York and this and that, and 5,000 people would turn out at the depot here when they came back. That aspect is pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, and early on, I had reached out to Cliff Crystal.
Sure.
And asked for guidance on it, because I know he's got a knowledge base that's, yeah. Watermelon head. He's got it all in there.
But Chris, yeah, two different people. Lee Remmel, all he knew were the Packers. I mean,
yeah, he lived and died.
No kids,
literally.
Didn't have kids. And just he just knew. You sit down next to him, and that that's what you talked about. If you didn't know that, we went to a dinner one time and they had, you know, assigned seating, and my wife sat next to him. I'm like, this is going to be interesting because she didn't know anything about football, and that's all he knew. But, you know what I mean? It's like one of those.
Yeah.
That guy just knew everything. And Cliff Crystal, there's a lot of history here in Green Bay. So before we went to break, I was asking you, you'd written two books on Curly Lambeau?
Just one.
Oh, just one. Yep. Okay. So tell me what some of the surprises.
Well, I'm just going to tell you one.
All right.
Because I don't want to give everything away.
Well, I got to read the book. Well, of course.
Just give us a tease.
Right, there you go.
Well, this was a surprise to me, and it might not be to other people, but his grandfather had shot his wife on the street downtown here in Green Bay. I didn't know about that.
Pleasant surprise. Some, yeah. I thought it was going to be something different. Yeah. Like, he gave money to
say that again.
His grandfather shot his wife in downtown Green Bay.
So his grandfather shot his grandmother?
Yep.
Yeah. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why did he do that? And was he guilty? Huh. Or was it an accident? Or tell me a little bit more. Do I have to read the book?
He was guilty.
Really?
Yeah. And, well, he shot. Well, he died too, so.
Oh!
Murder-suicide?
Okay. Not what I was expecting.
Yeah. I know.
Well, when he went to get John Hudson from Alabama.
Right. Or he loved to cook for this and that. But, he shot his grandma. He shot his wife.
That's all I'm saying. Didn't know anything about it. Other people knew.
Did you ever find out why, and this is something that, like, a Lee Remmel would know, why Vince Lombardi disliked him so much?
No, and you know, I tried to stay away from that stuff. I tried to make it just about Lambeau.
Okay.
About it, and less about sports. I do touch on the Packers. And
because even in the 1965, I think it is, yearbook, Curly Lambeau had died, and on the cover was Lombardi and Curly shaking hands in the stadium. You want to talk, look in the eyes of both guys. Yeah. They want nothing to do with shaking the hand of that other guy.
Yeah.
And Cliff has some back knowledge to that.
Oh, does he?
He's got more on that. But have you seen his book set, Greatest Story in Sports?
Cliff?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I actually ever have the whole thing.
If you want to go down a rabbit hole.
Okay.
The Pro Shop has them, and oh my gosh, they're all inclusive.
I see that.
Nothing is left out.
Wow.
It's a bulky read, though. You have to be a reader. Now, mine's a little on the light side, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to. You can just be a sports fan and pick it up and read
it. I'm going to ask you this one quick question. I have to ask every author come in because I've written four books. I'm working on two more right now. And even when Mark Daniels was here the other day, and I said, Mark, let me give you one word of advice. When you get started, stay with it. Because it'd be hard picking it up after a while where you've been in that moment. Once you get that momentum going, roll with it. Would you, like, for young, or not even young, but just for potential authors out there, I just want to know, for a person who does it, some advice.
Yes, you got to keep going. Because, you know, the research kept me going because I kept on finding all these little things that I didn't know about that would make me dive in more. And I had four different people helping me, and there was just stuff that kept on driving the train, you know.
Yep.
But you got to keep at it. You got to make a schedule and make so much time each week.
It's like writing a term paper. So once you put it down and walk away for a while, it's so tough to jump back in.
Getting started was my challenge. Tell me about your second book.
So I had two books before this one that I wrote for in central Wisconsin. One of them is on the city of Marshfield, and the other one was on the Adler family. And the Adler family was a family that owned they were like a mogul, a movie theater mogul.
Oh, okay.
Back in the 1930s.
Adler Brew? No, different family.
No,
okay,
never mind. Different family.
All right.
So they own movie theaters all over Wisconsin, Michigan.
Oh.
And the daughters never married.
Okay.
So that's what drove that story. You know, the youngest daughter was still alive when I wrote the book. And in fact, when I got it, when it was published, her caretaker read it to her for 2 months and she passed away.
Wow.
So she got to see the book. She was in her 90s.
That's cool.
What did they do with the movie theaters? They sell it to Marcus or they?
A combination.
That was a tough business for a while. I mean, a really tough business for a while.
But it was fruitful for them for many years.
Right, right. Well, that's cool. That's an interesting story.
That was a fun story.
I bet it was. And then what was the other one?
Marshfield. Which is still amazing. I've brought family members there numerous times to Marshfield and from Marshfield.
Right.
That is, talk about on the middle of no place, like, for a facility that was built that's just beyond belief.
We're branded with the Green Bay Packers. You know, they're just branded with the Marshfield Clinic.
Yep.
And they need to lean into that. They don't want to change that. That is very, very cool.
And they're known for the Kodiak Bears, too.
The Kodiak Bears. What about the Kodiak Bears?
They have two of the three Kodiak bears in captivity. You should see the
in Marshville.
The heads are huge on those.
And they're still alive?
I mean, oh yeah. Obviously, yeah. Okay. They're young.
Wow.
Yet,
but I always wonder who somewhere decided right in the middle of southwestern Wisconsin or so whatever direction it would be, just western from here, decided to build this world renowned facility.
It's in the book.
Yep.
Yeah. Read the book. I just think I'd give it away for free, Johnny.
You're right. You know, it's always the big, you know, the Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, you know, the three biggest cities, and yet Marshfield is deserves to be on the map because of what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a set of nuns that started out that clinic and hospital. And
Belgian?
Then, yeah.
Seems like everything you read is Belgian nuns.
Catholic yeah. nuns. Yeah. And names like Lawton and Laird, you know, took it into the next
big names
next level.
Yeah, all right. Cool. Chris Leonard, author and senior editor of the Press Times, which is just a wonderful paper locally.
Where can we get the new book?
Yes, it was my next question.
Oh, yeah. The book release. Yeah, that would be important. The book release is December 17th from 4 to 6 at Boss's.
Oh,
nice.
Fantastic.
And it'll be available there for sure.
Isn't that the greatest store in the world?
Yes.
I still walk in that store and it just feels good, doesn't it?
Yep. Yes, it does.
Outstanding. Chris Leonard, congratulations. I know the time, effort, and everything that goes into putting together a book. And congratulations. Thanks for please keep putting out this paper. And give my guy John a job. Could you hire him?
Oh, for sure. We'd love to.
Hook him up.
The photography's great.
He sleeps on my couch. Just, oh, man. We come back. John Kirsch from the Golden House. Giving Tuesday. Back after this.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Miss part of the show or want to share it with a friend? Check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a sunny Tuesday morning. Special thanks to Chris Leonard, author and senior editor of the Press Times, and Kristen Ambos from Point Mortgage Corporation. Of course, Mike Pritzel telling us the ins and outs of being an Uber driver this time of year. And right now we got John Kirsch from the Golden House Giving Tuesday. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you two guys take it away because you guys are pretty much in the same neighborhood of what you do.
We are. And that's a great program facility that you run for the community. Speaking of giving, I was just giving some money to the parking meter. That's why I was a little late coming in here. Sorry about that. So how are things going?
Parking meters need to eat too.
How are things going at the Golden House?
Good, good. Yeah, I want to thank you guys again for having me on.
Great to have you on.
Yeah, so... We're kind of feel like we're getting settled in now. So it was about a year ago that we had the official ribbon cutting and moving into the new building, and it just takes a while to get used to it, get ramped up to, you know, much larger scale and
beautiful
size.
Looking building.
Right. And yeah. You're staffed? That's always a challenge, right?
Yep. 100% with full to capacity, which again is always kind of a good and bad thing, right?
Yeah,
but you know, that's the services that are provided and need it. And so, yeah, we've completely filled the rooms now.
For people that don't know, John, just give a little background of what the Golden House is.
Yeah. So the Golden House, is supports victims and, advocacy programs for domestic violence in Brown County. So, we're really the only, organization that's completely dedicated to that. There's others that support around the issue, but we're 100% involved in domestic violence support. So that means the shelter, what we were talking about here, of housing those that are, you know, in immediate danger or just need a place to go because they've got to leave their abuser. So we have rooms there and really full support for those families. So
they can bring the kids.
Yep.
And you guys are and I think that's a really good point you're making, because do we really need another shelter? Well, we're so focused. You know, I mean, you are focused on domestic abuse victims, and you know what you're doing when they walk through the door. You've got the staff there to take them. I work at New Community, and we take care of homeless people, individuals. They've got kids. We send them to the Freedom House. They're, there's just other great organizations, and I think that's great that you focused on that. And that Capital campaign was really, unfortunately, fortunate for you, but to get more rooms.
Yeah, yeah. We just really outgrew the old facility. And, you know, there's a lot of things that change as you kind of maximize the room that you do have in the old building. You start to see, you know, it's this new building is just set up so much better for people coming in and wanting privacy. And, you know, security. All those thoughts went into designing the new building and how that layout should be. Because a lot of folks, we talked about it last time I was here, too. A lot of folks aren't staying at the shelter, though. I mean, we housed about, I think, close to 500 individuals last year. Numbers are obviously still accumulating this year, but we served over 2,500 people. Right. And so a lot of people aren't in the shelter. They're coming in for counseling or for legal support or advice or, you know, anything else that goes on there. So so a lot of people are in and out of the building throughout the day.
Can
as well.
Can people just like drop in? Yes. I mean, just okay. And tell people where you're located.
Yeah, so we're right on just off the corner of University and Webster there. So so you'll see the building.
Right by the big food company. What's the big food company there?
Yeah, American Foods.
American Foods.
Right there. Right next door, yeah. Yep. So Giving Tuesday's coming up, and that's an opportunity for listeners, for anyone to give. You're completing a significant capital campaign.
Yeah. Part of the plug I want to put in here is follow us on social media, especially Facebook, LinkedIn. For Giving Tuesday, we've been releasing a survivor story every Tuesday for the last few weeks. So part three is up right now on the Facebook page. I know I just checked before. So you can go and read that. It's actually from a gentleman who went through abuse and talking about the support that he got at Golden House and kind of his journey through.
Would you talk about that? Everybody in their mind has your residence in their mind. And I find a lady with a couple little kids and her husband drinks and
is a jerk
and abuses. And I see that. But last time you were here, you said people would be surprised how many males come to your place.
Yeah, I mean, it's a much lower percentage overall.
But I didn't know there'd be any. Yeah,
but there certainly are. And, yes, we all kind of think of that, I think,
right?
Or at least us guys think about that pretty quickly. But, the same can happen. And obviously, you've got to deal with, abuse, whether it's, kind of physical or emotional and verbal and things like that, too, that escalate. Guys deal with it too. And again, anybody that comes in or calls in will certainly get support from Golden House to be able to help them out and work through those situations.
I mean, that's great that you're a resource and that it's confidential. You walk in, you can meet with the counselors. And like you said, maybe it's just a few things that they need to do. They can still return. But if they can't, I mean, there's no better place than the Golden House.
Well, when you guys talk about Giving Tuesday, and like Jim, of course, runs the NEW Community Shelter, or one of the people that run it, as Terry just fell out of her chair.
I work there part-time, but I love it. Yeah, no.
but Giving Tuesday, it seems like you guys want to give, but yet on the vice versa side, you only survive if people help give to you as well. So which hat are you wearing here today?
I guess I do a lot more on the fundraising side on my role with the board and things like that. So so we certainly want to encourage people. There's a lot of great organizations we know around Green Bay. Right. And we work closely together with a lot of the organizations. But we want you to keep in mind Golden House as well. Like we said, we've been kind of publishing that series every Tuesday. There'll be one more next Tuesday, kind of the finishing one.
Okay, let me just say this. One of the coolest things at Jim's thing, I think, as far as for self-esteem, is they've got is it called a winner's wall, Jim? What's it called? When people go through treatment and they do great and they're...
Yeah, if they want, right. Just to, I think you have to encourage
to
people
them.
To, right, and people that want
I
the
I feel like a lot of these people haven't had a lot of achievements in a few years, and to see their and like what you're doing exactly the same as they do but on an actual wall, I think that sense of pride is very important.
Yeah, and we very often again, usually it's without names, but very often again, if you follow us on social media and things like that, we'll have our monthly newsletter, and there's often a survivor story in there talking about their experience and what they went through. It helps kind of highlight a little bit what Golden House does, but it also for a lot of people shows them what somebody else has gone through and that, maybe, I should go get some support or look for some help here.
It makes it more personal and it's just first names. I mean, you're right. You would never put someone's last name on there. Yep. But I think what's important that people know is that there are a lot of good things to give to. I think we all need it about the same. You can make an argument, well, we need it more than they do, but really it's that special connection. And to learn about someone who's there or go visit someone who's there or volunteer there, it's like, wow, this is working. And I think people need to give. I mean, that's the way this community works. It works a lot. And as you know, you've been on the board for many years. These capital campaigns, these operating budgets, it takes good people. And we have plenty of them here in Green Bay.
Yeah. I'll also highlight, John and I were just chatting about, you know, unfortunately, you never know what organizations are going through for funding and stuff like that. There was a big reduction, the VOCA grants, which are I'm drawing a blank.
They were grants.
But VOCA grants got...
It's an acronym.
Yeah, it got slashed out of the federal budget got slashed significantly. And we took a big hit out of that funding for next year. And so, you know, those things, as well as a number of organizations around the area. So those things kind of get hit hard when you're counting on those fundings for, you know, operations and things going on.
Yeah, we... I mean, some of us don't
been
really,
there, done that, Jim?
Well, no, just we don't really rely on the government because of what John just said. You know, it can be here today, gone tomorrow, different administration. It can be a little bit political. Or our big concern with government funding, and I think we're maybe 4%, you know, we would miss it if it was gone, but it wouldn't hurt us too bad, is there's too many strings attached. You know, I don't know if the government gave you money and said, well, you got to do this, you can't do that. We don't operate that way. I mean, we've got a very independent system that's worked for 30 years, and we're going to continue to work that. So, and that's why I think we just need good people to give good money, no strings attached, to help a cause.
Yeah, there's certainly all the grants. There's certainly a lot of hoops to jump through and, you know, tell you exactly where it's going and a lot to do with that. You know,
and they check your overhead, because when I was involved with that, man, they would check salaries and all kinds of things.
Yeah. So, I mean, we look for support from all different angles. You know, that's a part of it. But when something changes, you obviously have to adjust and make up
for
that.
Let me ask you this, right. Breaking it down to the people on the street. If somebody out there is listening and knows of somebody in certain situations that you, in your mind, know you people could help, tell me the type of people. If somebody out there is listening and they know of somebody that maybe it's questionable if they need some help, tell us a little bit the protocol.
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing, usually the easiest thing, is just to place a call into Golden Hose, and just find out what the opportunities are. It can be just talking over the phone with one of our advocates, but it could be setting up a convenient time. You know, the shelter location is open 24 hours a day, and that becomes important. Some people only get a couple minutes away from their abuser, and they need to be able to just make a call quick, or they can run when they're getting groceries and swing in there for, you know, 10 minutes or something like that. So
you have drop-in service.
Yeah. So having that or scheduling it when you know you're roughly, you know, when you're going around, we'll figure out something to be able to work with somebody that needs help.
Very cool.
Wow. Yeah. And thank you for what you're doing. And this Giving Tuesday, let's just talk about that. Let's underscore that one more time.
Yeah. Follow our social media. Go look at those stories that are out there. I mean, you'll see some of that impact. And those are up there repetitively, but again, intentionally for Giving Tuesday. But, you know, we have a focus, again, to finish that capital campaign and support those operational needs. And we're really looking for as much community support as we can get.
Right. And Giving Tuesday, again, is that's when the community, you know, we need to give all year. But Giving Tuesday is when we really circle the wagons.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the original start of it, but it just makes sense, right? We have Thanksgiving, and then we have Black Friday, where we turn around and spend a whole bunch of money, right?
And then Small and Business then Saturday, we plug
that
too.
Small Business Saturday, and then Cyber Monday somewhere in the mix, and right? I mean, we buy a lot for ourselves and our family, but I do speaking for my work and do presentations and stuff like that, and I always carve out a minute or two to talk about a little bit about Golden Hose and domestic violence, even when we're not in the area, but also with... you know, just giving back and the good feeling that it has just by, you know, whether that's time or money or whatever that is, it's always awesome.
What do you guys need, John? What can we do? What can our listeners do for you?
Yeah. Again, if you go to goldenhousegb.org, it's our website. You can donate there. So if you want to give, you know, give funds there, you can certainly do that. If you're looking to volunteer time, we have a stand at Lambeau for Packer games, for example. Like, we are taking volunteers for that, for stuff around the shelter. So follow our social media. We have posts on there of where we're looking for help, when we need that help. So, you know, if you want to get involved, you know, money is a great way to do it. And we always appreciate that. Helps out a ton. But there are a lot of other ways to be able to get involved and help out.
Correct me if I'm wrong. And one last thing, then I'll let Jim wrap it up with you here. People would be a little bit shocked that there is no social economic type of thing that goes along with people that get abused, is there?
Yeah, I don't know the particular but statistics on it, but yeah, I mean,
it can happen to anyone.
The thing I've heard and been told and been, you know, seen, and just by me talking, people coming up to me and telling me, thank you for doing this. I've been abused, or I know somebody that's been abused. I always say, you know, from what I've seen then is, you know somebody, you know, they might not be telling anybody, they might not tell you, but you know somebody
who's been
affected. Yes. Yeah.
It's here, it's real, you know, and we got to support it. And I appreciate what you're doing, John, at the Golden House. And this Giving Tuesday, again, it's a day when we as a community come together to give. I mean, this is a giving time of the year, but we also spend a lot of money too, as you just addressed, with all the shopping and things. So, and this isn't just individuals, businesses, we need the businesses to step up too. You know, I teach a class, and John's heard me say this a million times, we talk about profit, but then we talk about philanthropy too. And I have kids come to the community shelter and say, look, you guys, I'm not bringing you here to be scared. I'm here. This is what you got to do, because you're going to be successful. You can just tell some of these kids are going to do very, very well. And they need to give to the Golden House. They need what?
I'm not laughing. I'm just something you told me about a group. I got to tell you a quick funny story. Some of the kids might be a little naive that come into your place to volunteer. It was like in the summer. Oh, and they did. And they didn't have a lot of people come up for dinner?
We usually serve about 150 people. And we had these students come there. And it was, what was it, Labor Day, right?
Or, yeah. Or something like that.
It was a holiday. And we had like, I don't know, 90 people. It's like, wow, this is really low attendance. And the guys, well, they're probably all at their cottages. And it's like, dude,
no,
you got okay. A little bit to learn here. Great kid, and
so,
he's learning.
I didn't mean to laugh, but what do you say? Well, they're at their cabin.
That's
on
what
the
he
holiday
said,
weekend.
Cabin,
yeah. Well,
like, ooh.
Yeah, let's talk. John Kirsch, Golden House, Giving Tuesday. Thanks for what you do, buddy.
All right, thank you, guys.
Always great
thanks,
having
John.
You, and whatever we can do for you guys.
Awesome, appreciate it.
All right, quick break. Mine or the Mayor, back after this.
Give a little bit of your love to me.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Ooh, Supertramp.
Oh, yeah.
Did you go to the...
No,
we always talk about going to
things
that we don't.
I tell you what, these guys are awesome. I've listened to them for years and years. Love them. Thank you, Todd. Is that my going away present?
Well, it's also Giving Tuesday that we were talking about, and the song is Give a Little Bit,
right?
It is.
It is.
I'm not talking to Todd for the rest of the day.
He's mad at me.
What happened? Again, I mean, it's nothing new, but anything you want to share with our listeners?
Just look at the screen.
Oh, yeah, that is my favorite picture. Thank you, Todd. Another, so he's playing Supertramp.
I think there's an HR. I could sue her something.
No, HR. No, I don't think
file
so.
File a grievance. I could file a grievance. I'm my union steward.
Get her on the line.
Get her on the line.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's a
so,
busy thing.
All right.
Oh, man.
How are you, Maury?
Yeah, he's doing a picture of me with those huge glasses Nikki gave me. And then it's not funny, okay?
I don't know.
I love that. Glad it's documented. So I'm glad someone did that.
Unbelievable. Okay, I got to ask you, what's up with I know the parking lot is all closed off now and whatever. Yeah, yeah. What's the latest on the statues? Do you have any inside skinny?
You know, there's a site that's probably top of list, you know, in downtown, which is great. I think it needs to stay downtown. It has to stay downtown. So, yeah, it's a downtown
site.
So we'll see. You know, keep posted.
But nothing's been...
It's crazy the way this went down. But whatever.
I mean, I would think they've got to be moved pretty quick if they're going to start digging there, right?
That's true.
Okay.
that is the true statement.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Anyway, hey, so Thursday, you're doing the turkey trot?
Yeah.
You're good. Good. Mm-hmm.
Getting ready for that.
I have got shirts from probably 8 years in a row.
Those bright orange ones?
No, they can't change the colors.
I mean, sure. Yeah.
The turkey trot. They got a turkey
on the
front.
Yeah, but one year I think they were blaze orange.
Oh, yeah,
one
totally.
Of those.
Oh, yeah. They're green, purple, or maroon, I should say. Anyway, that is, did I read that right? There's more runners on Thanksgiving than any other day. I mean,
really?
Turkey trots all over the United States,
yeah.
Right? And
do you ever, I jogged through Central Park one time when I was visiting New York City. That was like one of the coolest things. I feel like I was in a movie jogging through the park.
Yes. I mean, I'll go there tomorrow, but I don't know that I'm going to jog through there. But yeah, we go there. It's just, that's a great, great park. And you talk about, can a city have a park?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing better than Central Park. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, but yeah, so I felt like I imagined myself in a movie.
Right.
Jogging through Central Park.
Lots of people watching plays, so you were probably feeling the eyes on you.
Actually, Marathon Man. Did you ever see Marathon Man, Dustin Hoffman?
No.
Oh, Todd? Marathon
No,
Man.
No, sir.
Late 70s. So I forget how it was. He discovered a former Nazi who had stolen so many diamonds from the victims of the Holocaust and everything like that, living in New York. And somehow he was going to go after him or whatever, whatever. So they grabbed him and they tortured him in this cabin. They took a drill and they drilled right into his tooth, okay, to get him to talk. And then what they would do, though, it was they would take clove oil and pour it in there and it would kill the pain right away. So that's how they tortured him, was like, do you want the oil? Do you want the oil? Do you want the oil? It's almost like what I was doing with vodka at the at your golf tournament.
Yeah.
When I had the root canal.
Would they go through that much oil?
Yeah. And so that would, but he was jogging through Central Park because he wanted to be a marathon, and that was the whole scene. So I kind of visioned myself as Dustin Hoffman jogging through Central Park.
Okay. I bet a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
John. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, it'd be fun. We'll see the parade. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Tell everybody your plans this weekend.
Yeah. Taking off tomorrow.
I'm house watching, which is great.
No, I've got somebody else house watching.
Damn it. And Milton, I'm going to watch your garage upstairs of your garage.
Now she's been over a couple times. She's getting to know Milton. He's warming up to her. So that's good.
Oh, you're not taking Milton?
No.
Oh.
We're not.
Okay.
So, all right. No, it's going to be fun, right? My kids live
out
there.
Yeah, good for you. It's fantastic.
And then my other daughter's son-in-law and granddaughter coming up from Nashville.
That's awesome.
They just sent me a text. They get in at 9:19. We get in at like 11 so they can go take their own Uber. Anyway, we're staying Fifth Avenue where the parade is and then probably move to Times Square for the last 2 days
because
I like that. I like the energy down there. Rockettes, we're going to go see that. So, I mean, that's what Thanksgiving is. It's getting together with family. No gifts, just... You know
what they don't let you do at Rockefeller Center. What they don't like you know where the you can look down at the ice skating rink.
Yeah.
They won't let you sit on the wall. I get kicked off the wall. You can't sit on the wall. Why can't you sit on the wall? Are you serious?
What do you mean you can't sit?
You can't sit on the wall.
Do you sit? No.
The where you can like lean over and look down at the ice skaters and everything.
And you sat up there?
Yeah, I sat
no,
on the
you could fall. It's
really
lawsuit.
What are the odds of falling?
Pretty high with you. I don't think so. That's a good rule. Yes, we're gonna, but Rockefeller Center, the Rockettes, you know, they kick their legs and all that. That'd be fun.
Oh, I love the Rockettes. I'm not even kidding. I think that's pretty cool. I'm not joking about that.
Okay, yeah.
No, I'm not joking. I told you one time at my other radio station, we had a couple of the Rockettes.
Oh, when they're here?
In there. Yeah.
That's cool.
And one girl was from Manitowoc, and they just did kind of a thing, and it's mind boggling what athletes they are.
Oh, my gosh.
They're athletes like you can't believe. No, really amazing.
Great city. So, we're going to have fun out there. You have fun, too. Who's subbing tomorrow? Or who's
Nikki.
In here? Oh, yeah, she's great. She did that when you were in your deer stand.
Yeah.
Or supposedly in your deer stand.
I showed you pictures of my deer stand, what the view was from my deer stand.
That is true.
Yes. I don't think I'm going back up, though. I was thinking about going back up. But now the weather's turned really cold. And that's not a lot of fun sitting out there when the weather is really cold.
Now it's a good time of year just to chill with family, a little wine, fire and fireplace.
Yeah.
Talk about how great things are.
Yeah.
The gratitude list. Hey, I was reading something this morning, but we don't have time for that. I was reading when you go around the table for the gratitude list, passive aggressive gratitudes. You know, like to say, you know, what are you thankful for, Mom? I'm thankful that my children are home because they're always too busy to come here.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like that
kind
of stuff.
Yeah.
Just that, you know, I'm thankful that...
Even though the kids don't really call or write, it's nice that one day out of the year they take time out of their busy schedules.
That's exactly what it is.
To be here before I die.
So, there's some of that happens at the table too. But anyway, they're going to have fun. So,
yeah.
And you're going hunting?
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm waiting for a phone call from my brother to see if, you know, he needs me up
Todd,
there to shut down the camp.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving? I know you guys are going to talk about it tomorrow, but I'm not going to be here.
Sleeping,
so
baby. Sleeping.
That's right.
Gummyville.
Turkey puts you to sleep, so. All right.
Happy Gummyville, Todd.
That's right, yep.
He doesn't need the turkey to put himself to sleep.
That is true.
Thanksgiving afternoons. Packers, of course. Big game against Miami that night. That's going to be a lot of fun. And fun show today. Well, Jim, have a great trip.
I will.
All right.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And I'll be back tomorrow with Nikki and Todd. See ya.
Tonight,
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.